Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. I think I told the Sunday school that after 2 years and two CT scans showing 7 or 8 kidney stones and 1.5 inch big in my kidneys, they called me and gave me an appointment to go to Augusta, Georgia on December the 19th to start a process to see if they can do something about them. So I'm grateful for your prayers. I haven't had an attack for a couple of months now, and I'm thankful for that. And I hope they can do something and get them out of there. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I'm going to read through verse 38. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. To be espoused was to be more than engaged. It was a contract of marriage. It was everything except they had not consummated. They had not slept together. And they were doing everything together as a husband and wife under contract, which was a Jewish custom. Verse 28, the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Notice it is in all capital letters. "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Let us pray. Father, as we look into your word today, I ask that you'll help me to help your people. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here today that has not yet trusted Christ as Savior and been forgiven of their sins and received a home in heaven, that this day you'll deal with them in such a way they know they're lost, that they might hear today of your great love for them and giving your Son to die in their place to pay for their sins, and they might come and receive Christ as their own Savior today. We pray for those who may listen on the website, that the message will be a help and a blessing to them and point them to the Lord if they have the need of salvation. We pray for your blessing on this service in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw last Sunday from Matthew 26, verse 63 through 65, Jesus was questioned by the high priest. He said, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." In Luke 1:35 that we just read, the angel calls Jesus the Son of God. It is a prophecy that says he shall be called the Son of God. So those who believe on him call him the Son of God. And this is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Today we look at Luke chapter 1, and beginning with verse number 31, the virgin would conceive and bear a son and call his name Jesus. The proper name Jesus means Jehovah's salvation. In Hebrew, it is called Yeshua. To say Jesus Christ means Jesus the Messiah to the Jews is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. The proper name Jesus is given, Matthew tells us, because he would save his people from their sins. He is Jehovah's salvation to save us from our sins. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We cannot earn salvation. We must receive it as a gift. As we give gifts at Christmas time, we give a lot of gifts to children who don't necessarily deserve all that they get, because we spoil them and give them many things. And we love them, and we want to help them, and we give them gifts. They didn't earn them. It wasn't like they labored 40 hours a week to deserve and earn what they were given. You love them, so you give them a gift. You give out of your abundance. You give out of your love. You make sacrifices to give for them. And God has done the same for you and me in salvation. We don't earn salvation. We don't deserve salvation. We are sinners who cannot even approach God. But Christ died in our place, and God gives us the gift of salvation if we will receive it into our own lives. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10, the Bible tells us that God has exalted the name of Jesus above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, all men will bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. 909 times this name is used as a name or a title in the New Testament, Jesus. Songwriters and poets have attributed praise to this name above every name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. We sing that here in our congregational songbook. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. We sing that one too. And take the name of Jesus with you. We sing that one also. And that's just a few of the hymns and songs that exalt the name of Jesus Christ and find comfort in His name. His name is Jesus. And Isaiah said the government would be upon Him as He ruled Israel. And He'd be called by these titles and descriptive phrases. He'd be called Wonderful in Isaiah 9:6. He is wonderful. To come to know the Lord as your own Savior is wonderful. To lay down at night. You remember when you got saved and you could lay down and sleep and know your sins had been forgiven and were washed away, and the joy of salvation, the fact of knowing that Christ is your Lord, and no matter what you go through, He's there for you and He's with you, and He can help you in all that you face in this life. And above that, He's preparing a home in heaven for you. One day He's going to come and take us to that place. Some of us are getting a little long in the tooth and bald in the head and short in our stature and stumping over and all that sort of thing. You see, we're getting closer up the mountain, and heaven is a little closer to us today in our age, and may be at any time. And that truth is, it could be at any time for any of us, because Christ could come to take us home to heaven to be with Him forevermore. Call wonderful. Wonderful in His mercy, wonderful in His grace, wonderful in His deliverance to reach down into the pit of sin where we are, unworthy as we may be, and draw us out and cleanse us and plant our feet on a solid rock. And that rock is the Lord. He is wonderful. He's also called Counselor. That calms the fears of men. That brings comfort to our hearts and peace. He has given us His Spirit to guide us and comfort us and be with us so that we are not comfortless. And He counsels us by guiding us through His Word. He's called the Mighty God. He has all power. He is the Creator of heaven and earth and the sustainer of these things. Have you ever seen one of those fellows back years ago, the comedians and all the shows they put on TV, all these different people, and they'd always have one of these fellows come out and do juggling? And boy, they can do some amazing things. I've seen one idiot that juggles chainsaws that are running, you know. And they can just juggle all kind of stuff, a whole lot of those bowling pins and balls. And they'd always get one of those fellows that would put plates on a stick. And he'd spin that plate, and he'd work that stick, and that plate would get spinning wide open. He'd put another one, and another one, and another one, and another one, another one, another one, another one. And he'd run back and forth like a wild Indian. Right, no, spinning those things, spinning, run over here. Every once in a while, one would fall and crash, and he'd get them all going again, and one would be over there wobbling. Everybody's looking, you know. He's trying to keep it all going. Can you imagine all these planets spinning and moving, and yet they don't just collide all into each other and blow all to pieces, and we've got an atmosphere with air to breathe and water to drink and all the blessings that we have. God created all this for us. And God is the one who sustains all this for us. But there's coming a day when this earth and the heavens are going to be on fire and burn up, and the wrath of God will come and judgment will come. Christ died so that you don't have to suffer the judgment of God. He suffered His wrath on Calvary for you and for me. The mighty God, able to save to the uttermost. The everlasting Father. That means He's the originator. He's the first. He's the beginning. And He'll be here till the end. He's eternal. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. He is eternal, the everlasting originator, Father. Prince of Peace. There will not be peace on this earth between men until Christ rules on the throne. Isaiah speaks of men beating their swords into plowshares and making war no more. But that's a passage of Scripture that deals with the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The United Nations, whatever nobility they had in that, putting that on their wall out there, it's not going to take place until Jesus comes back and rules and reigns. He said clearly that between men there'll be wars and rumors of wars until the end of time. But He's the Prince of Peace. He gives peace to you and to me. He makes peace between us and the Father because of offering Himself for us. And He gives you peace in your heart to know that you're saved and to know that God is with you. You see sometimes on church signs the words spelled out, know God, N-O, God, know peace. Then K-N-O-W, know God, and know peace. You see, if you know the Lord, you have peace. But if you don't know the Lord, there is no peace and no rest to the wicked. The Lord came and gave Himself for us, and if we believe on His name, we're called the sons of God. Secondly, He would be called great. Look at Titus chapter 2 with me and verse 11 through 15. Titus chapter 2, just before the book of Hebrews. We have Titus and Philemon. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Verse 11 of chapter 2 of Titus says, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. He shall be called great, the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's great because He's all-powerful. The Greek word is omnipotent, meaning He has all power. He's also all-knowing, omniscient. He knows all things. And He's present everywhere, omnipresent. God is with us. We invite Him in this place today. By His Spirit, He is here with us because He promised where two or more are gathered together in My name, there I will be in the midst. He's called the Son of the Highest, explaining the deity of Jesus Christ. Mary was not giving birth to a man like Caesar who would become a god. She was giving birth to God who would become a man so that He could die for us, so that He could be the one perfect representative man to pay for our sins. The Son of the Highest. The highest expression of God is El Elyon, a name meaning the Most High God. He is the highest in authority, the highest in power, the highest in knowledge, the highest who is supreme over all man. To the Hebrew people in the book of Hebrews, it is written that He is greater than angels. They are servants, but He's the Son of God. He's greater than Moses, who was a servant. but Christ is the Son over all His house, greater than Aaron, the high priest, who lived and made sacrifices for men and died. But Christ made sacrifice for us once and lives forever, making intercession for us at the throne of God. He's greater than Joshua, who led the people into rest. He leads us into rest eternally with Him. At one point in time, He said, there's one greater than Solomon who stands here among you, and greater than Abraham. The people of Israel had great respect for Solomon, who built the temple, and great respect for Abraham, the father of them all. And Christ is His descendant, and yet Abraham calls Him Lord, because he looks to Him as his Savior. Sovereign over man and creation. Sovereign over nature. He parted the Red Sea. He calmed the storms. He walked on the waters. He has power over all the natural elements. He has power over nations. If you want to look at the passage or make a note about it, or if you're listening on the website after this is posted, it's Daniel chapter 2 and verse 37 through 40, where Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream and he saw an image and he asked the wise men to tell him what he dreamed and they could not. And he was going to slay all the wise men of his kingdom. And Daniel said, don't be so hasty. Let me pray. And he asked God to reveal the meaning of this dream. And God did reveal the meaning of the dream. And Daniel stood before Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, Nebuchadnezzar, you saw a great image, and the head of that image was gold, and you are that head of gold. You have an empire here in Babylon. And that is Iraq today. Saddam Hussein considered himself a reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar, who was going to rule the world from Iraq. Next, he told him in the chest and arms of silver was Cyrus, the king of Persia, and Darius the Mede. They would conquer Babylon and they would rule the world. And these would be those that would come next in line. After them would come Alexander the Great. And Alexander divided his kingdom to four generals when he died. And the beast of Alexander had four wings, just as the Bible prophesied. And then Augustus of Rome would come and rule the world. But I want to say to you that Jesus Christ is greater than all these men that God set up and took down according to His perfect plan. Christ, who came, is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the highest in all authority. Revelation 19, verse 6 and 7, and Revelation chapter 19, 16, tells us that He shall reign forever and ever. He shall reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. All men will bow to Him, regardless of their stature and of their title and of their reign. They will bow to Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. He shall rule over David's throne, a united Israel as David united Israel. Only David and Solomon his son, who inherited David's kingdom, reigned over a united kingdom of Israel. After Solomon's son came to the throne, the kingdom of Israel divided the north and the south. That sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? The north and the south divided and they never united again. Well, that's not the case with us. We got all these dear Yankees that moved down here with us, knowing things are better down here in the south. Praise God. Amen. And amen. And Christ rules on David's throne, rules over a united Israel. You see, God's not finished with Israel. God's going to deal with them specifically in the tribulation. The rapture's going to take place. Jesus is coming in the clouds and call us to heaven to be with Him forevermore. And then upon this earth is going to be tribulation, something man's never seen before. And God will deal specifically with Israel. Revelation 7:4 says He seals 144,000 of the Jewish people. 12,000 from each one of the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes. 144,000. Zechariah 13:6 and 14:3-5 prophesy that one will come and reign over Israel and have a kingdom. And Christ will have a kingdom and rule upon the throne of David. This has not been fulfilled. This has not happened yet. This was not when he came as a babe in a manger. He offered the kingdom to Israel, but they rejected it. He did not rule over his kingdom in that day. He was not crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is a future event that is yet to transpire. But it will happen when he comes back to this earth and plants his feet on the Mount of Olives and fights the battle of Armageddon and then sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years, Revelation chapter 20. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You say there that the Bible says he's going to rule for 1,000 years, and here he says he's going to rule forever and ever, and there'll be no end of his kingdom. You see, he'll rule on this earth for 1,000 years, but then the destruction of this earth is going to take place. And he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and he will reign eternally. And we who know him and love him will reign with him forever and forever. He is called holy, the Son of God. Only Jesus is holy like God is holy. We are separated from sin when we give ourselves to him, but we still have within us a nature that wants to do the wrong thing. We struggle with it. If you're not saved, you can't defeat that sin nature that wants to rule over you and lead you in the wrong path. But if you've been saved, God has delivered you from that sin nature and paid the price for the sin nature. But until you get a new body in heaven, you still have that human flesh. You still have that sinful nature that we struggle with. And we're all still sinners who've been saved by the grace of God. All men have a sinful nature except one, and that's Jesus. He had no human father. Therefore, he's not a son of Adam, but a son of God. He had not Adam's sin nature. Romans 5:12 says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We've all received the genetic connection to Adam and Eve that makes us have a sin nature. You can try to overcome it. You can try to be good. You can be the most moral person that's in this room today, but you still need to be saved because you got a sin nature that God will not accept. And that sin nature will let you know it's there. You get up of age, and the hormones in your body start raging, and you start looking around at the opposite of you, which is what you're supposed to do, by the way. Boys look at girls, and girls look at boys, not the other way around. And you'll find out you've got a sin nature. Your mom and daddy tells you everything you're supposed to do, and of course you obey them perfectly and accurately and to the letter of the law. No, you got a sin nature. And you want to slip around and do some things they told you not to do. That shows you have that sin nature. But Christ was separate from sinners, Hebrews 4:15. It was in the fullness of time that God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. You see, Christ came of woman, the Son of God. He did not have a human nature like you and I have, the sinful nature. And therefore, He was the one perfect, sinless sacrifice that could die for you and for me. That's the whole purpose of the virgin birth, that she was impregnated by the Spirit of God and did not have a human father. If Christ had had a human father, he'd have a sin nature just like you and me. He'd be a good man, a moral teacher, and all that sort of thing, but he wouldn't be the Son of God. But I believe what the Bible says, that Jesus is the Son of God, and he saved me from my sins, and I know that I've been saved. I know I'm still not perfect. I know I still have a sin nature, and I struggle with it all the time, especially dealing with all of you. God bless you. It reminds me of my sin nature. Look in your Bibles at Hebrews with me. Chapter 9. We're almost done. Y'all can say amen right there. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. I want to read a few verses here in chapter 9 and 10. Hebrews 9:11 says, "But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled into unclean sanctifieth to the purity of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressors that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Now skip over to chapter 10 and verse 4 and 5. Chapter 10, verse 4. "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God." Chapter 10, verse 10. "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." He has made us complete in the eyes of God by saving us from our sins. He's the only begotten Son of God, and yet He is the Son of Man who could pay the price for us. Peter declared Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Isaiah called Him Emmanuel, born of a virgin. And it means God with us, as we sang today. In chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible tells us in Luke that Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. The term firstborn there is very important. It's the Greek word protokon. It is not the Greek word monogenes. Monogenes means that he would be her only son. But this says that he is her firstborn son. You see, Matthew 12 and 13 makes it very clear that Mary and Joseph, after Christ was born, were married and had multiple more children. That is not what some churches of our world teach today. And that is an error in the Bible. Matthew 12 and 13 even tell us their names. James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters. All of these are named as brothers and sisters of Christ. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, the only birth Son of God, but He's not the only begotten of Mary, because Mary married Joseph and had other children after Christ. Their children were human and possessed the same nature that you and I do under the curse of Adam, and they needed to be saved. But Jesus was born without a human father and therefore did not have a sin nature that condemned Him as us. Now, multitudes of men have made traditions that surround Christmas, that we enjoy some of them and celebrate some of them and laugh at some of them. Christmas is, we've been given the name Christmas from the Catholic Church, Christ and Mass. We don't celebrate Mass in a Baptist church, but we celebrate Christ in this church. And we know what that means. Inventions of men. Some have tried to invent that Mary was born of a virgin herself, the Immaculate Conception, and that she remained a continual virgin and is worshipped today. I want to say to you, there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. You can pray to Mary all day long and Abraham and Solomon and all the disciples, and it won't bring you one answer from God. Only through Jesus Christ can we approach the Father and ask our petitions of Him. Santa Claus and talking snowmen and reindeers that fly and all that sort of thing. I heard one comedian on late night television when I was wide awake and channel surfing around looking for something to watch. He said, "I don't care who you are, fat man, get them reindeer off my roof." The virgin birth is not like those things. We laugh at those things. The kids watch those cartoonish things every year, Frosty the Snowman and all that, and we laugh about those things. They're entertainment. But the virgin birth is not given for entertainment. The virgin birth is a fact of history recorded from God that we must protect and defend and understand. It is only through the virgin birth that Jesus could be the Christ, the Son of the living God, and could pay for our sins. And that's why sinful men are always trying to destroy the belief in the virgin birth. They try to tell us Jesus got married and had kids, and that, you know, his parent, his dad, was a German soldier or something, and all this kind of thing. They've invented all kind of things to bring doubt. But you see, my friends, that's where faith comes in. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, as God has said, in order to be saved. And He is the Son of God without sin, able to provide salvation. One more scripture and I'm done. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 10. Acts 4:10. Peter, preaching to the multitude after Christ's resurrection, said, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That name is the name Jesus. Let's stand together, please. Father, I thank You for the faithfulness of Your folks. Thank You for the special choir number today, the orchestra number. All of these things were just beautiful and glorious to remind us of this great time of the year. As we think on the birth of our Savior, may we truly exalt the Lord, worship Him, bow before Him, for He is worthy. And recognize He paid the price for our sins if we'll come to Him and find forgiveness and everlasting life, and then live for Him and serve Him because He's worthy. We ask Your help in this invitation. Deal with hearts and draw people unto Yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.